Well, the faith chapter begins talking about faith, and it's very interesting because it defines what real faith is, because there's false faith. Faith in itself is not that good sometimes, you know. It's just something we use, something we, as like a tool to hold on to a bolt, to turn it. I walked out of the polling place on Tuesday, and I saw someone coming in, and I said, you know, I only gamble one time a year, and this was it. Because when you vote, you're believing in a politician or in some kind of proposal, and you're taking a great risk, because you may be voting for and believing in somebody that's a bad person, that's a wrong person, that's a wrong choice, or you may be putting in a bad policy. That's not a good policy. It's a bad one that you're voting in. And you believed in it, but it was wrong. It's like faith is a muscle. It grabs a hold of what we think is true, even if it isn't true. We grab hold of it by faith. It's a muscle. It grabs it, you know? Or it's like stepping on the ground. I believe this is solid ground. I believe this is solid ground. I believe this is solid ground. See, I'm making a step, and I'm believing each time that it's solid ground. Well, it couldn't be solid. You know, Bump of Hell in Lassen Park. It's a smelly, sulfur, bubbling mud pit of hot water. You know. And it takes a little while to hike to it. I don't know if any of you ever have done it, but I took a hike to it with my kids, and boy, on the way there, you could smell the sulfur. But anyway, it's called Bumpus Hell because the man, Mr. Bumpus, who discovered it, thought he was going to walk on solid ground, and then he took a step by faith that on solid ground, his leg went, and he lost his leg. That's the story of Bumpus Hell. But if you believe confidently in something that is not true, it will not make it true. It will not change it to be true. So that's why someone has said our greatest difficulties in life aren't caused by the things we don't know, but by the things we do know that aren't so. You get that? The things, oh, I know it. I know it. I know the earth is flat. I know we're the center, and the sun goes around us. Some people believe that, and they were taught it, and they believed it all their lives, until more knowledge came, knowledge of the truth. And now we believe the truth, that we spin around the sun. And we spin around, that's why the sun keeps going around, it's us spinning around, not the sun. And we ourselves spin around the sun. And the sun is actually moving, too, through the galaxy. So we're learning all those things because we're learning what truth is. And now we believe truth, whereas before their faith was false. Well, we can know with an absolute certainty that what God shares with us is so. What He shares with us is true. In His Word, faith finds a true home because it brings us into a relationship with Him, with God. Faith that brings us to God is a faith that clings to His Word. That's what brings us to God. Hebrews defines this in the first beginning, what this faith is. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now those things that faith holds on to, that's how faith behaves. It's certain that it's that way. It hopes and it's just assured that it's doing. That's why it behaves that way. Faith is that way. But God wants us to have that kind of faith in His Word, because that's the same kind of faith that God has. And you'll see it here in this passage. God is a God of faith. God is a God of faith. His faith brought the universe into existence. Listen to this in verse 3. I'm going to read it out of the New Revised Standard Version. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Now, theologians have said that God made creation ex nihilo. In Latin, that means ex nihilo means out of nothing. God made creation out of nothing, but I'm not convinced of that because it says in this verse that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That's something, not nothing. That's something. God made them out of his word. God spoke creation into existence with absolute certainty that what he spoke was going to happen. He believed it and he spoke it and it happened. Now that's God's faith in his own word. And he wants us to have that kind of faith. He made what is seen, a physical universe, out of it, what it says here, out of things that are not visible. The commands that came from his mouth. Okay? So that's why I believe that God made the world out of something. He made it out of his word. Out of it. It came from his word. Now, just as his word of faith came before the visible things, he had faith and he spoke. So just as his faith came before the visible things that it created, so our faith must come before an understanding of those things. Now here's what it says in this verse. It says, by faith we understand. The faith comes first and then the understanding. Let me put it this way. So going back to that illustration of the people who believe the earth was flat. We don't really learn anything unless we believe what is spoken to us by our teachers. Now if you come to a class, and you don't believe the teacher, and they keep on giving you the information, you don't believe them, well, first of all, you're not going to understand the subject that the teacher's trying to explain, and you may fail the class. And that's sort of like it is with faith. We have to really believe in what is taught to us. But it can be wrong unless it's coming from the right source, a true, valid source. And God is that source. So God wants us to trust his account of things. He wants us to trust his account of how things are because he's telling us about reality. He knows it. He created it. He can talk about it. We did not create it. Sometimes we are wrong. And everybody today says, oh, we're right on this subject. Maybe they are more right than they used to be. But they also are learning more things about the universe. When I started this subject on Hebrews, I was talking about the black matter that they found. That is, there's more black matter in the universe than anything else that we know. And it's heavy. It's heavy stuff. And we don't know what it is. We don't know quite what it is what I heard somebody say on a video. We don't know quite what it is. We don't know. Well, how do we understand how the universe functions if we don't know that's in there? It's a big factor. It holds everything together. And they said, wow, we thought this way, and now it's this way. You see, we don't know everything. And we need a source that does, and God is that source. God knows what is reality, and he gives that reality to us. And he wants us to listen and trust his word so that we do not get misled by faulty information or faulty explanations of what reality is. Now, figuring things out on our own, that's a legacy that was inherited in Eden from the forbidden fruit. You know how when they took that fruit, it gave them a way of knowing that was independent of God. They took the fruit into themselves, the knowledge of good and evil, what's right and wrong. They took that into themselves so they could figure things out. Yeah. And so God wants to reestablish in us true faith, a true faith that's in a true object of faith, which is real, the Word of God. God's evaluation of things, God's order of things, how God wants it done, how God knows it has to be done, spiritually, physically, many things like that, but especially spiritually. He wants to reestablish himself as our teacher, as he was in the Garden of Eden before they ate that fruit, so that everything they knew and everything that they were going to learn was going to be right, perfectly right, not based on their own evaluation. Now, God wants us to know to trust and to act upon that word that he gives to us. His word that brought everything else, us and everything else, into existence. He wants us to trust in the same word that created us. You know, that's logical. That is totally logical. This kind of faith, is a kind of faith that is being sure of what we hope for in the face of harsh circumstances. There might be harsh circumstances that we go through. Maybe it is a mental thing, or maybe it's a physical thing, or maybe it's circumstantial, and it's harsh. But we can hold on to God's promises about those matters by faith, and we're holding on to something more sure than the circumstances themselves. It's more solid because it's going to last, and it's going to carry us through. God wants us to have an absolute certainty in His Word. An absolute certainty in the face of all the fears of the unknown. By that kind of faith, in the fears of the unknown is certain of what we do not see. What is unknown, what we do not see. We can have sureness of faith, an absolute certainty in His Word. Now, much is taught today about having faith in ourselves. Well, there's a certain measure of truth in that, because there's some true things within ourselves that we need to trust and need to act upon many times. But an absolute trust in yourself is faulty, because it's as faulty as human nature is faulty. And boy, human nature is faulty. Study history. Saying this faith that God is talking about, is a faith that clings to God's Word and brings us into a relationship to the God who spoke the Word. And it says here that those who have that kind of faith, in verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. These are like the people of the past. These people we're going to learn about in the book of Hebrews. We're going to take 3 now, because they had that kind of faith in the midst of a lot of things, and it took them through. Now, past testimonies of faith encourages. That's why this is such an encouraging chapter of the Bible. And those past testimonies encourage our faith. And that's why I want you to share, when you have something that relates to your faith and how God works, to share it with the congregation during the sharing time. But let's reread verse 4. It says in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, in taking Abel's story, I have to say, from another verse in Scripture, which I'll read in Luke, Abel is listed as a prophet. Now, there's something about a prophet that gives me a whole understanding, and I'm going to do a little bit of Perry Mason detective work to find out what the motive of the murder mystery here about Abel is. But in Luke it says, therefore this generation will be held responsible, Jesus said, for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. Abel was a prophet then, as Jesus said. So I go back to this passage in Genesis and I try to figure it out, because I know that prophets get martyred for sharing what God spoke to them, what God told them. When they share it, people don't like it, and they kill them. That's why the prophets got martyred all the time. Now, playing Perry Mason a little bit and doing some detective work with the Cain and Abel story, God must have told Abel how to offer sacrifices. Abel believed God, practiced what God said, and preached it. Because he's a prophet, right? He had to tell somebody else. Well, who's around? The only other person is Cain. Cain's around. So Cain knew it. Okay? But Cain thought, I don't believe Abel. I don't believe God spoke to Abel. And so I'm going to do what's natural to me. I grow a lot of things in the field, so I'm going to offer a plant. God was not pleased with that sacrifice. And he told and rebuked Cain and said, you need to do what is right. What is right? Without no explanation. He just said, do what is right. Well, how would he know what's right? Abel heard what was right. Abel's offering was accepted. So, in a fit of anger and jealousy, he murdered his brother. Case closed. I believe that. Abel offered a sacrifice that he could have had his own idea about a sacrifice, but he listened to God and did the way that God wanted him to do it. Now, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man because he did what he believed that he heard from God. God spoke to him, and he believed it, and he did it. And so he was commended as a righteous man for trusting and acting upon God's revelation to him. Not his own idea, like Cain did, but his revelation from God. And we have a big book of revelations like that. He said, but he got him killed. He did that. Yeah, that's great. But he didn't live a very long life. It got him killed for obeying God. You know? Well, yes. That's true. But what about his role as a prophet? His prophecy, it says, and he was prophesying by animal sacrifices, was prophesying the blood sacrifice of Christ to come. So he was the beginning of the prophets about the coming of the king, about Jesus' sacrifice. And it says that by faith he still speaks. Abel's prophecy still stands today. And we're hearing about it right now, even though he's dead. I would pray that each of us, eventually, we're all going to die. I would pray that our testimony still speaks about faith to other people long after we're gone. Wouldn't that be great? That's a blessing that we would like to have. Well, let's reread the passage about the next one in here, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Who pleased God. And then it goes on to say here, that verse we read before, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we see Enoch, and he's famous. He's famous in history for never having to face death. But he's famous with God for believing his word and walking in a faith walk for 300 years. A faith walk that was totally by faith in everything that God said. Because that's what faith is. It's just not faith. I believe. What do you believe? I don't know. I just believe. No, you believe something, and it's what he believed that he was commended for. He believed God's word to him. And you know something? He is also a prophet. It's listed here in the book of Jude about Enoch that we don't have any place else in the Bible. It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way and all of the harsh words that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Man, ungodly, 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 what was he talking about? Well, Enoch lived before the flood. And you know the story of the flood. It was God destroyed the earth because of the wickedness of people. And Enoch heard from God. And Enoch prophesied. And he spoke forth the word of God to others. And you know what? They didn't like it. But he spoke it. He spoke it. And when we get closer to God, because how did he hear God's word so well? He walked with God. He walked with God. We need to take God's word. It needs to be our companion through life. Walking through life with the word of God in our hearts, in our minds, so that we can hear what God says to us. Because you know something? Our society just speaks against it, says that harsh words that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Our society speaks against God. We need to be ones that stand up and speak for him. Speak for him. I'm going to read the next one about Noah. It's just one verse as well. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah trusted God's word and labored for 100 years in that faith to build that ark. That's how long it took. Now, Genesis, it says in this in the passage in Genesis, several verses together, it says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. And Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now his faith did two things. First of all, he saved his family. That's first of all what he did. And the second thing is, he condemned that world. Here's where it says, by faith, he condemned the world. You see, his faith was connected to God's word. And God's word was against that ungodliness in the world. And it still is today. And we need to connect our faith to that same word. And we will come up against a way that when our life and we live it out condemns the world. When Noah was building the ark, that ark was a condemnation to the world because God said, I'm going to destroy you. And here you are still going on in all your activities while God is preparing for 100 years. He was warned and his ark was a testimony against an ungodly world. Well, that's the first thing. It says that he was also telling others about that. You say, well, let's be quiet. He said, I'm going to build an ark. I'm not going to tell nobody. Listen to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness at that time. And seven others with him. He saved them too. When we act upon God's word, then we are delivered. And whoever else that we can get, that we can convince to bring with us, they're delivered as well. So one of the sons I said, I'm not going on that ark. I'm not helping you build it. I'm going on that ark. Well, then we would have only had two of his sons and daughters-in-law that were on the ark. But no, all three of them, a believer, father, and went on the ark as well. The second thing that happened to Noah, his obedience through faith in God's word, not only condemned the world, but it made him an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. You see, this whole thing is about it's not us being righteous. It's inheriting the righteousness of God through faith. It's not our righteousness. Noah eventually died, as did his family. That was not the important thing, just saving the family. Of course, it was important for the human race, but it was not personally as important as his relationship with God. Because, you see, God is righteous. And we cannot get the kind of righteousness that will, ourselves, on our own, that will bring us into a relationship with God unless he gives us the righteousness and he accounts us righteous when we believe his word the same kind of way he believes it, with absolute certainty. I believe in the word of God. That's our faith. Now, faith, like I said, is a muscle. No matter how powerful the grip of that muscle, it cannot change falsehood into truth. So you've got to be careful what you put your faith into. It can't bring us, that kind of faith in a falsehood cannot bring us into God. In fact, it will not bring us into a God of our imagination. We're just left with nothing, or with worse than nothing, a hellish experience after this life. And we are responsible. When you pull the trigger of a gun, you're responsible that your muscle, there was a choice behind the muscle. When we choose to believe, it's our responsibility, so our choice must be very careful. We must carefully choose to believe that God's word is true. His word brought everything else into existence, and he wants us to believe that word and trust in it, absolutely. We have to choose to believe God's revelation, and we need to try to get as many people as we can on the ark of faith.
if we can in this life. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for making an ark of salvation. But Lord, there are some people that have not chosen to get on. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to have a faith and absolute trust in your word. Oh Lord, this is so important today because so many are appealing for our faith. To believe this politician's word, or to believe this policy will help, believe this medicine is going to help you. There's so many things out there appealing for our belief. And Lord, you have told us what the true and the honest and just things are to believe in your word. So we ask, Father God, that you help us to have a strong faith, a strong grip, but that grip is not on anything false. It's on your word. Thank you, Lord, for preparing an ark of salvation for the saving of souls. And that ark is Christ, Lord. And we need to get to as many people to believe in him and to come to him that can. We ask, Lord, you help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.